Lesson 11, page 10. Lesson 11, exercise 1, line 36. Protos. Mu. Ain. Kai. Ek. Tu. Line 37. Pleuromatos. Autu. Hemes. Pantes. Elabomen. Line 38. Kai. Karin. Anti. Karatos. Hoti. Ho. Line 39. Nomos. Dia. Moseos. Edothe. Hey. Karis. Line 40. Kai. Hey. Aletheia. Dia. Iesu. Christu. Line 41. Agenito. Theon. Udes. Heorica. Popote. Line 42. Ho. Monogenes. Huios. Ho. Own. Ace. Tone. Line 43. Colpone. Two. Patros. Ekenos. Exegesito. You should review this exercise while going on to Lesson 12 and the study of nouns. Lesson 11, page 2. The verb. In Greek, verbs are made up of two parts. The first is the stem, and the second is the ending. First of all, the stem. The stem of the verb is determined by removing the ending from the Greek word. The stem determines the meaning or definition of the word. Secondly, the ending. The ending placed on the end of the stem of the word tells five things. The first thing it tells is tense, which has to do with time. And tense expresses two things. First of all, the time the action is taking place. And secondly, the kind of action that is taking place. Explained this way. First of all, time shows past, present, or future action. So something can happen in the past as history. Something can be presently going on, or something will happen in the future. This is expressed in the ending of the Greek verb. Secondly, under tense, kind shows continuous action, that is called linear action, or a single act called punctiliar action. Now what this means is that not only can the Greek verb show whether the action is taking place, has taken place in the past, is taking place presently, or will take place in the future, but also whether it was continuous action or a single act, which is called punctiliar, just one act. So the tense can show these combinations this way, and these combinations of time and kind of action is represented by different kinds of Greek verbs, and we're going to study them all. There's five different kinds, but we're going to study one in this lesson. First of all, the tense can show a single act in past time. That is, in past history, someone performed a single act. This is called the aorist tense in Greek. Example, the man wrote the letter. Secondly, the Greek verb can show continuous action in past time. So first of all, we had a single act in past time. Now it can show continuous action in past time. This is called the imperfect tense in Greek. Example, the man was writing the letter. The Greek form was writing shows continuous action, and it was done in the past time. The third kind of tense, continuous action going on at the present time. Example, the man is writing the letter. It shows that he's doing it now as we are writing or speaking, and it is continuous action. This is the present tense in Greek, and that's the tense that we will be studying later in this lesson. The fourth kind of tense is action that will happen in the future. And this is the future tense in Greek, and we'll study all of these later. The example of the future tense, the man will write the letter. And fifthly, a past action that has been completed but affects the present. Example, I have been crucified with Christ. It shows the one and completed final act when Christ was crucified, but its effects still affect me in my life today. Lesson 11, page 3. The second thing the ending of the verb tells us is voice. Voice expresses how the subject in the sentence is related to the action of the verb. There are three voices in the Greek verb. The first one is the active voice. This active voice expresses that the subject is doing the action to or towards someone or something. Notice the example. The man was raising the dead. The man is the subject of the sentence, and the verb or action is that he was raising, and the people or object of his raising was the dead. So the subject is doing the action to or towards someone else. This is called the active voice. Secondly, the middle voice. The middle voice expresses that the subject is doing the action to or for himself. Example, the man raised himself from the dead. Notice the subject is doing the action to himself, not to anyone else. Or he's doing it in behalf of himself. That's the middle voice. The third voice is the passive voice. The passive voice expresses that the subject is receiving the action of the verb. That is, the subject is not doing the action, the subject of the sentence is receiving the action. Example, the man was being raised from the dead. You see here that the subject, the man, is the object of the action. He's receiving the action. He is the one being raised from the dead. He is not doing the raising. So you have three voices in Greek. And the ending of the verb, first of all, tells us tense, that is time and kind of action, and secondly, voice, how the subject in the sentence is related to the action of the verb. The third thing the ending tells us on the verb is mood, also called mode. The mood expresses the writer's intent to show a statement of fact, a probability or possibility, a wish or desire, or a command. So it can show one of these four things. First of all, in mood, it can show a fact. Here's an example of the fact. The man is writing the letter. That is a fact. And by the way, this is called the indicative mood, and we'll study that in this lesson. Secondly, the mood can show a possibility or probability. Example, the man might write the letter. It's not that he is writing it or will write it, but he might write it. It's a possibility or even a probability that he will write the letter. So it is expressed, the man might write the letter. And by the way, this is the subjunctive mood. We'll take this later in the course. The third thing that the mood can show is a wish or desire. May the letter never be written shows a wish or desire. And this is called the optative mood in Greek. Again, we'll study that later in the course. The mood can also show a command. Write the letter is a command. And this is called the imperative mood in Greek. Lesson 11, page 4. The fourth thing the ending on the verb tells us is person. There are three persons expressed by the Greek verb. There is first person, that is the person who is speaking. There is second person, the person being spoken to. And there is third person, the person spoken of. Example, I say to you that he is a believer. I am doing the speaking. I am the first person. I say to you, you are the one to whom I am speaking, so you are the second person in grammar. And the person that is spoken of or about is called the third person, he. I am saying to you that he is a believer. Those are all the singulars. Both first, second, and third person are also in plural. We say to you that they are believers, would be how it would read if we were using the plural. So the fourth thing that it tells us is person. The first, second, and third person. The fifth thing the ending tells us on the Greek verb is number. Number tells us how many people are involved in the action. First of all, singular represents one person. I is singular. Second person, you. Also translated thou in the Old King James, is second person singular. He, she, or it is third person singular. Secondly, it also tells us plural. That is, that there's more than one person involved in the action. That is represented by the three persons in the plural. We, you, translated ye in the Old King James, that's the second person plural, and they. So the ending on the verb tells us tense, voice, mood, person, and number. It tells us a lot of information. Now we are ready to study our first tense, voice, and mood. We are going to study the present active indicative of luo. The presentation of each verb system is by person, number, tense, voice, and mood. We are going to use the Greek verb luo, I loose or I destroy, throughout our study of verbs in this course. In this lesson, we are going to study the present tense, the active voice, and the indicative mood of luo. Now, the present tense means that the action is going on. That is, the action is continuous. At the present time. Remember, tense tells us two things. The time of the action and the kind of the action. Present tense is that the action is going on presently. And that it is continuous action. The active voice means that the subject of the sentence is doing the action to someone. Thirdly, the indicative mood means the verb is stating a factual statement as opposed to an expression of possibility, a wish, or a command. So it is a factual statement. The present active indicative of luo. Lesson 11, page 5. We have listed for you the present active indicative endings. These are the endings that go on the stem of the word. The first person singular is the ending omega, pronounced O. The first person plural represents we, and the ending is omen. The second person singular is ace, and it represents you, or in the Old King James, the word thou. The second person plural is the word you, but it is plural, and it's translated ye by the Old King James, and the ending is ete. The third person singular, he, she, or it, is represented by the ending a. And the third person plural, which is translated they, is the Greek ending ouse, also pronounced ousen. You notice the nu is in parentheses there at the end. Please notice the note. Notice the ending for the third person plural. The nu on the end is called a movable nu. The movable nu is added when two things happen. First of all, the word following, that is the word that comes after, begins with a vowel. Or, when the word following, or comes after, is at the end of a sentence. However, not all Greek New Testament texts follow this rule. Some texts will have words with the movable nu, and some Greek texts will not use it. So you should be aware of the fact that sometimes the third person plural is found with ousa, and sometimes it's found with ousen, and it's the same ending. All of the regular verbs presented in the vocabulary list at the beginning of this lesson are presented in their basic root form, that is, first person singular, present, active, indicative. If you look up at the chart here, the present active indicative endings, you'll notice that the first person singular is represented by the ending O, the omega. If you'll notice the vocabulary words at the beginning of this lesson, all 11 of them are in the first person singular. That is what the regular verbs will be found in their basic root form when you look them up in a lexicon or dictionary. Secondly, the present active indicative endings can be applied to the stem of each regular verb. So in the vocabulary words, for example, each one of them, beginning with the first person singular, these endings can go on any one of those verbs. Thirdly, to find the stem of a regular verb, you must drop the omega ending from the first person singular, present active indicative form. So we started off this lesson by studying that there is a stem and an ending. The stem of the verb can be found by removing the first person singular, that is the omega ending. That is the stem of the verb. All the other endings can apply to that stem. It stays continuous. You can remove one ending and put another on. If you want to represent we in the sentence, you remove the omega and put on omen. If you want to represent third person plural they in the sentence, you remove the omega and put on use on the end of the word. Lesson 11, page 6. We have here now an example of a Greek word translated, found in its various verb forms in the present active indicative. We have the present active indicative of luo. Notice the first person singular. Luo. That's its basic root form. And it means I loose or I am loosing. Either one of those translations is correct. But also notice the first person plural. If you remove the omega and put on omen, it's luomen. And it's translated we loose or we are loosing. Notice the second person singular. Luace. That's the ending ace put on the stem of the word. And it is translated you or thou in the Old King James, are loosing. Notice the second person plural, luete. It's you or ye in the Old King James, are loosing. One is a singular person that you are speaking to, and the second example is more than one person, you plural. Third person singular, lue, he, she, or it is loosing. The third person singular represents each one of those three, he or she or it is loosing. And then the third person plural, luuse or luusin, they are loosing. Notice the third person plural, luusin. A Greek text that would have the movable nu would read luusin. And a Greek text that would not use the movable nu would read luuse. You should learn that use is the third person plural ending. You should study the present active indicative verb endings and go on to the study of the present active indicative verb in the reading exercise. In Lesson 12, we will begin our study of nouns. Lesson 11, Exercise 1, the pronunciation exercises on Lesson 11, page 7. In this exercise, you will be reading the text of John 1, 1 through 18. The present active indicative verbs in the text are highlighted and will be discussed when we come to them in our reading. Now, two things I want to mention to you before we begin. First of all, if you take pages 5 and 6 out of your notebook from Lesson 11 so that you have a presentation of the present active indicative verb endings in front of you so that we can discuss them, when we go through, it would be beneficial for you. And secondly, I'm going to pause between the pronunciation of the words again. If the pause is not long enough for you to practice your reading, you might want to hit the pause button on your tape recorder when I pause to give you longer time. Beginning with line 1, the first word, N, RK, Ain, Ho, Logos, Kai, line 2, Ho, Logos, Ain, Pros, Tone, Theon, line 3, Kai, Theos, Ain, Ho, Logos, Houtos, line 4, Ain, N, RK, Pros, Tone, Theon, line 5, Panta, D, Autu, Ageneto, Kai, Choris, line 6, Autu, Ageneto, Ude, Hen, Ho, Gegonen, line 7, N, Auto, Zoe, Ain, Kai, Hey, line 8, Zoe, Ain, To, Fos, Tone, Anthropone, line 9, Kai, To, Fos, N, Te, Scotia, line 10. And our first word in line 10 is our first verb, present active indicative verb. Line 10. Fine. We'll come back to that word in a moment. Let's finish out the line. Kai. Hey. Scotia. Auto. Ooh. Now, before we go on to the next page, if you look at line 9, right after it says line 9 on your exercise sheet, there is a 5 in parentheses. That means that this is verse 5 in the Greek text of John chapter 1. That line literally reads, "And the light in the darkness shines," or "is shining." That's how the first part of the sentence, this is actually a compound sentence, connected with the conjunction and, or kai. You notice the subject in the sentence, and we'll take the word tophos, meaning the light, when we take third declension nouns. But the light is the subject of the sentence. The light is doing the action. You have a prepositional phrase, in the darkness, showing where the action took place, but the verb phine is the verb showing what the light was doing by way of action. The light is shining. It parallels our example sentence when we said the man is writing. The light is shining, or shines, showing present action. That is, action at the present time, and the kind of action that's taking place, it is continuous at the present time. Now, I want to introduce something to you in the study of this verb. It is the third person singular, present active indicative. That is, it is represented by the third person, the person or the thing spoken of. It is represented by he, she, or it. Now, if the verb phine was all by itself in the sentence, the little pronoun it, or he, or she, would be supplied with the verb. For instance, it would be he shines, or she shines, or in this instance, it shines. But when you have the subject in the sentence, you don't need the little pronoun. For instance, the sentence would read, and the light, it shines. You don't need to repeat the word it when the subject is included in the sentence. So you drop the pronoun, and it's literally, and the light is shining, or shines. The translation shines shows that it's presently going on in its continuous action. So the verb, third person singular, present active indicative, it's a statement of fact. It is the active voice, which means the subject is doing the action to or towards something or someone else. It's presently going on. Phine. It's a third person singular, present active indicative of phino. Now let's go on to the next page. Lesson 11, page 8. Lesson 11, exercise 1. Line 11. Cateleben. Agenito. Anthropos. Apestomenos. Line 12. Para, Theou, Onoma, Auto, Ioannes, Houtos, line 13, Aelphone, Ace, Marturion, Hina, Marturese, Paris, line 14, Tu, Photos, Hina, Pontes, Pistusose, D, line 15, Autu, Uk, Ain, Akenos, Ho, Fos, line 16, Hina Marturese Pari Tu Photos. Line 17. Ain. The first letter is the capital Eta. Ain. Toe. Fos. Toe. Alethinon. Ho. Line 18. We have our second verb. Fotidze Panta Anthropon Erkomenon Ace. Now let's go back to Fotidze. Notice in line 17 we have a 9 in parenthesis, which means this is verse 9 in John chapter 1. And it is literally translated, He was the light, the true. That is, He was the true light, which enlightens or illuminates every man coming into the world. That's how the verse is literally translated. You'll notice the word enlightens, fotidze. Again, it is third person singular. Present active indicative of fotizo. The subject of the sentence is back in the beginning of verse 9 of line 17. He was. That verb means he was. He was what? The light that is the true light. The light which enlightens. He enlightens every man coming into the world. So instead of saying, He enlightens, fotidze, the subject of the sentence is He. So it's, He enlightens. And so, the verb describes for us that presently going on, at the time of John's writings, is that Jesus Christ is the true light which enlightens or illuminates continuously, presently, every man coming into the world. Line 19. Tone. Kosmon. N. Toe. Cosmo, Ain, Kai, line 20, Ho, Cosmos, D, Autu, Agenito, Kai. Line 21. Ho. Cosmos. Auton. Uk. Egno. Ace. Line 22. Ta. Idia. Aeltha, Kai, Hoi, Idioi. Lesson 11, page 9. Lesson 11, exercise 1. Line 23. Auton. Boo. Parelebon. Hosoi. De. Elabone. Line 24. Autone. Edoken. Autois. Exousion. Tecna. Theou. Line 25. Genesthai. Tois. And our next present active indicative verb, pronounced pistuousin. Notice the movable nu. This is a third person plural. So far we've studied third person singulars. This is a third person plural, present active indicative of pistuo. Pistuo means I believe. This is literally translated, they are believing, or they believe. Now, if you go back to line 23, where the 12 is in parenthesis, that's the beginning of verse 12 in John chapter 1. And it's translated, as many as but received him, he gave to them authority, children of God to become. That is, to the ones believing. It is third person plural because it is plural in number. It's more than one person. It is in the third person because it is the people that the sentence is talking about. And they are continuously believing at the present. It's interesting. It's not a one-time act. It is to those who are believing presently and continuously into his name. And we'll get into that later in our studies. In English, we know that in theology, in our Christian faith, it's believing in the name of Christ. But in the Greek text, it's not in his name, but into his name, showing an action of trust towards him, not just about him. But anyway, line 25, we have our next present active indicative, third person plural verb, pistuousin, third person plural of pistuo. Line 26, autou, hoi, ouk, ex, haimaton, ude, line 27, ek, thalamatos, sarkos, ude, ek, thalamatos, line 28, Andros, all, ek, theou, eganathason, kai, line 29, ho, logos, sarx, egeneto, Kai, Eskenosin, line 30, N, Hamin, Kai, Etha Asamatha, Tain, Doksan, line 31, Autu, Doksan, Hos, Monogenus, Para, Patros, line 32, Playrace, Karitos, Kai, Aletheos, Ioannes, line 33, our next present active indicative verb, Marchure, Peri, Autu, Kai, Kekrege, Legon. Going back to the first word of line 33, Marchure. Notice that it is the third person singular, present active indicative of Marchureo, to give testimony. At the end of line 32, which represents verse 15 in John chapter 1, it says, John testifies or is testifying concerning him. John being the subject of the sentence, and our verb is testifying or testifies, shares that John's testimony is continuous and it is presently going on. It didn't just happen in the past. It is present and continuous. Line 34. Houtos, Ain, Hon, Apon, Ho, Opiso, Mu. Line 35. Ercomenos, Emprosthen, Mu, Gegonen, Hoti. Lesson 11, page 10. Lesson 11, exercise 1, line 36. Protos, Mu, Ain, Kai, Ek, Tu, line 37. Pleuromatos, Autu, Hemes, Pantes, Elabomen, line 38. Kai, Karin, Anti, Karitos, Hoti, Ho, line 39, Nomos, Dia, Moseos, Edothe, Hey, Karis, line 40, Kai, Hey, Aletheia, Dia, Iesu, Christu, line 41, Agenito, Theon, Udes, Heoreke, Popote, line 42. Ho, Monogenes, Huios, Ho, Own, Ace, Tone, line 43. Colpon, Two, Patros, Ekenos, Exegesito, You should review this exercise while going on to Lesson 12 and the study of nouns.